And our love to Brother Ted, brothers and sisters, to give to us a marriage feast.
My beloved brothers and sisters, united in the hope of Israel. This parable concerns Israel rejecting the Messiah, rejecting this glorious hope, and the turning to the Gentiles, us Gentiles. In verse 2 of this chapter, a certain king made a marriage for his son. Now obviously, the certain king has got to be Yahweh. Yahweh the Most High, we read, is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. And he made a marriage for his son. That time, brethren and sisters, that we're longing for, when his only begotten son will be joined unto his selected bride, who hath made herself ready. The called, the faithful, and the chosen, joined, made one flesh. That's the marriage. Changed to the divine nature. That's the marriage of the Lamb. And it's beautifully expressed in the words of the Master himself in that beautiful prayer recorded in John 17. Just three verses. Verses 21 to 23 of John 17. That they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. That they may be one, as even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect, complete in one. And that word, made perfect, Paul uses it in Hebrews 7:28, consecrated, made perfect. That's the marriage. This is the marriage of the Lamb, when the chiefest among 10,000, the one that is altogether lovely, is joined unto his divinely beautiful bride. Those created by Yahweh through his word. Now the word marriage and wedding in this parable are the same Greek word, and it occurs 8 times. Just 8 times in this parable. A number of resurrections and new beginnings. And it's interesting that the Greek word translated bride occurs just 8 times in the New Testament. And whereas the word translated bridegroom occurs double that time, 16 times. The word of Yahweh. And so in verse 3, he sent forth his servants. Just one passage. Chronicles, the second of Chronicles in chapter 36. Second of Chronicles chapter 36. And verse 15. Yahweh Elohim of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God. They despised his words and misused his prophets. until the wrath of Yahweh arose against his people, till there was no remedy or no healing. That's Israel. He had compassion on them and eventually sent his only begotten son, and they rejected him. They would not come, says the Master. You can imagine him speaking to these people of Israel. They would not come. There was the Son of God in their midst, and they wouldn't listen to him. And all the signs and the wonders, and still they weren't moved. They would not hear. How many times we read that throughout the book of Jeremiah? Just take for one, just one example, Jeremiah chapter 7, because there's exhortation in this for us too. Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 23. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Remember how Paul quotes that in Corinthians. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imaginations of their evil heart. And the heart is desperately wicked, we're told in Jeremiah 17. And notice this, they went backward and not forward. Brothers and sisters, we've got to go forward. We've got to grow in the truth. How many times have we said that? We either go forward or we go backward, because we can't stand still in the truth. A babe will perish as a babe if they don't try to grow. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants the prophets, daily rising early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. They got worse and worse. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. How sad that is. Verse 28, thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of Yahweh at their Elohim, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. What a sad state of affairs. It's never altered, brothers and sisters, all down the ages. No different today. And so in verse 4 of the parable, he sent forth other servants. Who are the other servants? But the apostles, who boldly proclaimed the resurrection of the heir, whom they, Israel, had murmured. And so, coming down the in this parable, he says, my oxen and my fatlings are killed. As we know, all the sacrifices under the law, the bulls and the goats, pointed forward to that one great offering for sin. So when we read, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, this points, brothers and sisters, to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Now, Brother Thomas deals with this in that very way in that beautiful writing of his, The Last Days of Judah's Commonwealth, on page 27. In verse 5, they made light of it. They made light of it. Now the Apostle Paul uses this word. I want to look at in Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, two places where Paul uses this word, but it's translated here, neglect. Hebrews 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect, make light of so great salvation. What an exhortation, brothers and sisters. If we neglect so great salvation. Now going to the 8th chapter, if we neglect, then God will neglect. The 8th chapter and verse 9. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them out of the land to lead them out of the land of Egypt, by the hand, to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith Yahweh. Now that's the same word. You neglect me, I'll neglect you. You don't regard me, then I won't regard you. That's what happened with Israel. They made light of it. And anyone who neglects to feed upon this word, that they might grow thereby, they're neglecting. They're making light of this wonderful truth. And so he continues in his parable, and they went their way. They neglected it, and they went their way. Yes, they went their own way. Not God's way, as we considered yesterday. And what did they do then? Verse 6. They spitefully entreated them and slew them. Christ had already told his disciples this is what they would do to them. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. Behold, he says to these that he sent forth, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Into the ecclesia, Israel, the ecclesia. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Beware of men. They'll deliver you up to the councils. They'll scourge you in their synagogues. You'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. It shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. It's not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. The brother shall deliver up the brother to death. Ecclesias, brethren against brethren. The father of the child. The children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Ye shall be hated of all for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved, the end of the age. But when they persecute you in this city, flee into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. 80-70. The Son of Man coming in 80-70. You won't have gone over the cities of Israel. You'll have so much persecution that you'll be driven out to the Gentiles. That's what he's telling them. Exactly what happened. And so in verse 7 of this parable, he says, the king sent forth his armies. Now we've considered this before. Doesn't matter. Let's go back to Daniel, because he's the Word made flesh. The Word is flowing through his mind. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 26. Now after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. Not for himself, no fault in him. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. The people of the prince, the Roman armies. And in chapter 8 and verse 11 and 12. Yea, speaking of the Roman power, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host. And by him the daily sacrifice was taken away. and the place of his sanctuary was cast down, and an host was given him. An host was given him, an army was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression because of the wickedness of Israel. And it, this power, cast down the Mosaic form of the truth, and it practiced and prospered. And there's another interesting verse in Matthew chapter 26, which I believe is referring to the Roman armies. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 51. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. And Jesus said unto him, put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou not that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? And I personally believe that this is referring to Titus coming with his 12 legions in AD 70. It wasn't there. This wasn't the time. This wasn't the time he had to be offered as a sacrifice. And so, coming back to the parable, verse 8, they which were bidden were not worthy. Who were they that were bidden and were not worthy? Acts chapter 13 gives us the answer. Let the word speak for itself. Acts chapter 13 and verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, Jews, but seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. That's what they were doing. By rejecting Christ, by rejecting the teaching of the apostles, they were judging themselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have sent thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. To the Gentiles. And also, I just missed this one point, the murderers, in verse 7, destroy those murderers. Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, we won't look at it now, Acts chapter 7 and verse 52 calls them murderers. They had murdered the Son of God. Murderers. So they which were bidden are not worthy. Go into the highways and the hedges. That's added in Luke chapter 14 and verse 23. Highways and hedges. Now that word hedges is translated partition by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2. That which is between the hope of Israel and the Gentiles. At Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. Now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, that's an expression used concerning us Gentiles, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, Jew and Gentile, one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition. And that's the word that is translated in Luke 14:23, hedges. But there's no doubt whatsoever that what this parable is talking about. The Jews have rejected him. The Gentiles have this wonderful opportunity. Invitation to the Gentiles. And then it goes on, both bad and good. But this word bad is a different word to the word bad in the parable of the net. Notice that was rotten and worthless. where this word is translated evil, grievous, harmful, malicious, wicked. And you think that that's exactly the Jews. Look at the way they treated the disciples. They were all that. Evil, grievous, harmful, malicious and wicked. As they went against the true servants of God. And then at the end, the wedding is furnished with guests. Furnished with guests. Verse 10. That word is translated 17 times, fill. So there's no doubt about that then. They're all there. Furnished with guests. And verse 11. The king came to see the guests. So that's got to be the return of Christ. And they're all there. And he's come to look at them. And what does he see in this day of judgment? He sees a man without a wedding garment, a representative man. That man represents all those who are not clothed. They're naked like Adam and Eve. There's no covering for their sin. Their sin hasn't been forgiven. That's terrible, isn't it, brothers and sisters? A wedding garment. We know what the wedding garment is. Let's refresh our memories. Go back to Revelation chapter 19. The words of the Master concerning this great feast day. Chapter 19, verses 7 and 8. Let us be glad. Oh, what a time of rejoicing, brothers and sisters, for the faithful. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. It's come at last. It's come. And his wife hath made herself ready. That's what we're doing now. We've got to make ourselves ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. That's the clothing. And those at that day that haven't got that, they're cast out. How do we acquire this white garment of righteousness? Paul tells us, Romans chapter 4, and he's talking about that wonderful servant Abraham, the father of the faithful, the friend of God. Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. What saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. The end of verse 5, his faith is counted for righteousness. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. There he was an old man, and he still didn't have an heir. But he didn't doubt God. Somehow God was given to give him that son. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He was strong in faith. That's what we've got to be. We can only get it from the word. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word. Giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, because he had this implicit trust in his father, it was imputed, accounted to him for righteousness. That's the garment. But it wasn't written for his sake alone, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe as he did. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offences, and he was raised for our justification or acquittal. How wonderful that is. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How lovely that is, brethren and sisters. That is how we acquire the garment of salvation. Now the Apostle Paul, in the 2nd of Corinthians, continues to speak about this clothing. The 2nd of Corinthians, and chapter 5, and verse 2. We're all acquainted with these verses. 2nd of Corinthians, chapter 5, and verse 2. For in this horrible, this body, we groan, we certainly do, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Clothed upon. First Epistle of John. John also speaks about this. The second chapter, the first Epistle of John. In verse 28. And now, little children. That's what we've got to be, brethren and sisters. Teachable. Little children, abide in him. The time that that John uses this word in this chapter, in this epistle, in verse 24, abide, remain, continue. It's the same Greek word. If we abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed. Because we have that faith. We have the garment of righteousness. And of course, the Master himself speaks again of this in the 16th chapter of the Apocalypse and verse 15. Chapter 16 and verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth. How many times the Master says this? Watching, keeping our garments. He that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And that always reminds me of Israel in the wilderness and Moses in the mount. And he's there for 40 days and 40 nights. He's not coming back. Where, as for this Moses, we wot not what has become of him. Up, make us gods, and we're going to go back to Egypt. And suddenly, Moses appears and destroys their God. What does he find, brothers and sisters? They're naked. And their enemies saw their shame. That's the background of that. If we are clothed with righteousness, then we have nothing to fear. So the man with no wedding garment represents all those who have not grown in the truth and have no righteousness accounted to them. You hear brethren say, we have no righteousness of our own. Brethren and sisters, if we haven't any righteousness of our own, if we haven't got this faith, then he will not be our righteousness. And then misquotation of Jeremiah. All our righteousness is filthy rags. That was unrepentant Israel. Unrepentant Israel. Their righteousness of the law. We've got to develop faith, righteousness for him to be our righteousness. So they haven't developed faith. They have evil hearts of unbelief. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 53, because this is such a powerful exhortation. Psalm 53. They hadn't developed faith. They really didn't believe in their hearts. Those who do not attain to the kingdom, brothers and sisters, don't believe in their hearts. They could be sitting breaking a bread Sunday after Sunday. You don't know what's in their hearts. God does. I don't know. You don't know what's in mine. But unless we really believe in our hearts, there's no hope for us. Now here, in Psalm 53, we've got a powerful exhortation. The fool has said in his heart. Now you don't know whether the brother sitting next to you is thinking that in his heart. But God does. And that's when it begins. They don't really believe in their... Oh, you say, oh, that's the world outside. Oh, brothers and sisters, that's not the world outside. They say in their heart, there is no God. The world outside says there's no God. Come down to verse 3. Every one of them is gone back. Is that the world? Is that the world? World never come forward. It's those brothers and sisters in Israel, in the truth, who don't believe in their heart. They go back. And then what happens? They are altogether become filthy. Well, they were clean. You're washed. You're sanctified. But they're like the pig that was washed. And it returns to its wallowing in the mire. It's like the dog that returns to his vomit. How many times do we read in the epistles about turning our backs? That's what happens. And then what's the last stage? Workers of iniquity. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. So that's how it starts. They don't believe in the heart. How can they have faith? Now, coming back to the parable, verse 12, he says, friend. Now, we considered this yesterday, didn't we? Friend. It's not, ye are my friends. Different word. It's the word that we find in Matthew 20. Matthew chapter 20. And verse 13. We stole that. But let's go on to Matthew 26. This is the word. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 48. And it's Judas leading a band of men to take our master. Verse 48. And now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, master, and kissed him. Oh, what a dreadful man. The kisses of an enemy. A deceitful. And Jesus said unto him, friend, that's the word, that's the same word, wherefore art thou come? They're all like him. They're all like him. And he was speechless, coming back to the parable. He was speechless. I should think so. And the Greek means muzzled. The Apostle Paul uses it. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. So what does the Master say of this representative man? Bind him hand and foot. That represents death. Bind him hand and foot. Where do we find that expression? John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And verse 43. And his beloved friend Lazarus is in the grave. And he's been there 3 days. Or 4 days. 4 days. And when he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. What happened? He that was dead came forth. There's the expression, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. So it's death, isn't it? Bind him hand and foot. And then what did he say? Cast him into outer darkness. Oh, what a terrible thing, brothers and sisters. What a terrible thing. Cast out into outer darkness. Matthew chapter 11. I always believe that we should let the word speak. Matthew chapter 11. Sorry, chapter 8 and verse 11. Chapter 8 and verse 11. I'm looking at Luke. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11. I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom, who are they? It's not only natural Israel. It's carnally minded Israel as well. Ye are carnal, says Paul, to those who hadn't grown in the truth. It's not only natural Israel, it's carnally minded Israel too. That the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because on another occasion, you'll see Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom. And you yourselves thrust out, weeping. And you just imagine, brothers and sisters, you've got a brother that can't stand you. I've had that expression said about me. I can't stand him. I'm sorry for a brother that's like that. Because he is cast out. He hates the servants of God. And he sees the very brother that he hated in the kingdom. Oh, you can imagine that. Terrible. His enemy is in the kingdom and he's cast out. Because in his heart he didn't believe. It's terrible, isn't it? And we have the same again in the parable that we shall consider, God willing, tomorrow. Darkness. Cast out into outer darkness. Now, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. Isn't this a description of the world when Christ has returned? Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. He's speaking to Israel. The glory of Yahweh is risen upon thee. But what is it like before that happens? The darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But Yahweh shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Brethren and sisters, remember this, that we are the only light in the world. The light should be shining from us. When Christ returns and gathers us out of this world to Sinai, there will not be any light in it at all. There will be gross darkness. We're the only light. And woe unto this world when that happens. It's because the saints of God are in the earth that God withholds his judgment. You think of Sodom and Gomorrah, and those angels could not pour out the judgments upon Sodom and Gomorrah till Lot was out. They vexed his righteous soul from day to day. And then, coming to the end of the parable, many are called and few are chosen. Many are called. Oh, there's so many people come called to the truth. But there's only going to be a few chosen. Christ emphasizes that in the parable of the sower. All the different things, we've said this before, all the different things that kills that seed so that it doesn't produce fruit. It's only those brethren and sisters who are righteous, those who are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. That's what we read in the Apocalypse. Revelation chapter 17, verse 14, they are the called, the faithful, and the chosen. And you know, all those words are used of the Father of the faithful. Abraham called. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 2. Look unto Abraham your father. He is an example set before us. Look unto him and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him. There it is. Alone. And blessed him and increased him. Abraham called. In Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 7, he is termed chosen. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 7. Beautiful prayer. Thou art Yahweh the Elohim, who didst choose Abraham and brought him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees and gavest him the name of Abraham and faithful. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 9. Galatians chapter 3. And verse 9. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, we've got to grow in the truth. We've got to believe in our hearts that our faith shall be accounted unto us for righteousness, and we shall be among those, the called, the faithful, and the chosen.